athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of the program. We've got week 11 in college football. A lot of college football talk today here on the program. As a matter of fact, BYU, the Cougars, ranked number 9 in the country. Kalani Sitake is the head football coach of the Cougars. He's going to join us today here on the program. Also joining us today here on the program, Army head football coach Jeff Muntken going to join us on the program. The Black Knights are also undefeated on the season. And so we've got a couple of teams that are undefeated. Those respective football coaches are going to join us today here on the program. Again, BYU head football coach Kalani Sitake and Jeff Muntken, the head football coach of Army West Point. So before I even get to the CFP, I want to recognize the HBCU National Players of the Week. Allen quarterback Jameer Dismukes had a fantastic game. 12 of 14 passes, completed 265 yards with 3 touchdowns, also rushed for another 57 yards in Allen's victory over Central State. And also Alabama State linebacker Rico Dozier also had a really good football game. He had 19 tackles, 12 of those solo, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, as a big win for Alabama State over Alcorn State. And for more information on both of these young men, visit our website, boxtorow.com. Not just their stats, but more information on them, a little bit of background on them as well. So the college football playoff rankings were released on Tuesday, the first rankings of the year. I think for the most part, at least when I look at top 12, I mean, I think for the most part, it's right. I would say this. I think, and of course, we're going to have Kalani Sitake, the head football coach of BYU, on the program. But I think when you have BYU at number 9, okay, and you have Miami, all respect to Miami, Miami's ranked number 4. It's not Miami hasn't had a great schedule. As I looked at the schedule, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to let me pull it up as I'm talking. No ranked teams like Miami. I think because of where Miami started this year, it's not a knock against Miami. Miami is undefeated, playing some good football. I mean, you could say, okay, the win against Florida was a decent win, although Florida is not very good right now, but that's a rivalry game. I mean, I think that's not a, you know, that's a decent win. You know, Virginia Tech, okay, that's a close ball game, an ACC game, barely escaped California, although it was on the road. It's a conference game. Okay, a good win against Louisville, who's nationally ranked. But when I look at BYU's schedule, BYU, to me, has the better football schedule. When I look at BYU, a good win over SMU, right? We talked with Rhett Lashley, the head football coach of SMU last week, only one loss, and right now SMU is ranked number 13 in the country. I mean, I think that's a big win. Kansas State, that's another big win. To me, it spoke to maybe the lack of respect, at least from week one or for week one, that the committee has for the Big 12. Let me look at Indiana. I mean, if you look at Indiana's schedule, all respect to Indiana. The Big 10 is a tough conference, but I would say this. Indiana, okay, give Indiana credit. Indiana's undefeated right now. But name a big win for Indiana so far this season. I mean, a couple of games, you know, Indiana beat FIU. Okay, great. Beat Charlotte. Okay, great. Those are, you know, group of four programs, right? You know, Western Illinois. Like, okay, great. Okay, now it's won some get, you know, you beat UCLA, you beat Maryland, you beat Northwestern, you beat Nebraska, you beat Washington. Okay, those are certainly, and Michigan State are Big Ten games. But the bigger games and the more difficult games for Indiana are ahead of it, beginning this weekend with Michigan. Now, I know Michigan, the defending champs, aren't having a great season. That's still going to be a tough football game. And then a bye week, the 23rd, November 23rd, on the road at Ohio State, and then against Purdue. So I feel like if Indiana, if the Hoosiers fall to Michigan this week, they're going to, you know, I think the Hoosiers are obviously going to drop out of the top 12, could potentially, I don't know, maybe drop out of the top 20. I think a win over Ohio State, let's say a loss to Michigan, a win over Ohio State clearly is going to put Indiana back in the running with Purdue remaining on the schedule. A win against Michigan, maybe a loss against Ohio State. I don't know. Indiana's going to be right there. But I guess my point is, to this point in the season, BYU's got a better schedule and should be ranked higher, I think, than number 9 in the country. But that's where, in fact, BYU is ranked, coming off a bye week, big game. So BYU's got something to show, something to prove. Big game on Saturday against Utah. All the other teams, I mean, if you look at, you know, Oregon number 1, Ohio State number 2, you know, Georgia number 3, I'm good with that. You know, Texas number 5, Penn State number 6. I mean, you're talking about powerhouses. And, you know, again, getting back to Miami, maybe living off past reputation. It's not to take anything away from Miami, but who has Miami played to this point? And the ACC is not that strong. You've got SMU playing well. I think SMU is playing very, very well. That's a big win last week against Pitt. So, you know, Tennessee, SEC, playing well. I don't know about Indiana. But again, then behind BYU, you've got Notre Dame, a tough loss to start the season. Notre Dame certainly has rebounded. Alabama's got two tough losses on the season. Probably deserves to be right where it is at number 11. And then group of five schools, or group of four, you've got Boise State at number 12. So it's fine. You know what I mean? Army at number 25. Army's undefeated. And I'm going to ask Coach Munkin about that today and his thoughts about where, you know, Army sits so far this season. So that's, the initial release of the college football playoff rankings. Those are my thoughts. Again, I think BYU should be ranked higher. But to me, it shows that the committee doesn't have as much respect for the Big 12. And look, the SEC and Big 10 are superb. ACC, not so much. But the Big 12, you know, has it, you know, is trying to, you know, get itself going with the losses of Texas and Oklahoma. So maybe not the best. But again, if I look at BYU's schedule, a couple of wins over ranked opponents, to me, should make for BYU being a little bit higher. So you've got college football playoff talk today on the program. I want to talk week 11 in HBCU football. I'm going to do that a little bit later on in the program because I think you have some really, really important football games. Also in the National Football League. Look, we're already at week 10 in the National Football League already. So, we'll talk some National Football League. I would ask, Panthers fans, we've got plenty, we're located here in Raleigh, plenty of affiliates that carry the program in Panther country, whether in North or throughout North Carolina and South Carolina. Bryce Young, what do you think about Bryce Young so far and the fact that the Panthers won on last week, got the Giants? That's a winnable game. I think the Giants are, the Giants aren't bad. The record to me doesn't indicate what the Giants could be. But again, for the Panthers at home in Charlotte, I mean, I think that's a very much a winnable football game. Then I look at the Cowboys, and it's just been a bad season. And yes, Dak Prescott is injured right now. But really, Dak hasn't, even before the injury, he hasn't played well, hasn't had a good season. Remember, he signs the contract the day of game. The Cowboys go out and win, and everybody's happy. But if you look at the way he played, it wasn't great. And that probably was one of his better games, because he's had games that have been bad. And I just wonder, okay, outside of the injury, and you've got to ask if you're the Cowboys, you know, it's now been revealed that some of the cartilage came off the bone in that groin injury that he has. So he's probably going to be on IR. That's a minimum of 4 games. Do you just sit him out the rest of the season and then come back with Dak next year? And then also, how good really is Dak Prescott? How good really is it? Look, I go back to last season, right? Like, unbelievable season, second in the MVP voting. I go back years ago to, I thought that, again, the Cowboys needed at that time, I guess that's going back 6-7 years ago, to sign Ezekiel Elliott, because Prescott was solid, but he needed that running game. And it ended up that Zeke wasn't that great that year, but Dak was. Dak is like inconsistent. How good a quarterback really is Dak Prescott? That's also a question that I would ask as well. And, you know, the Cowboys just aren't getting it done. Got the Eagles this week on Sunday. I mean, I feel like the Eagles are going to win that game. I feel like the Eagles, despite all of the noise and early on, are playing as good a football, maybe with the exception of the Lions and the Commanders in the NFC right now. So, plenty is going on in the National Football League as well. So we can talk a little bit more about that as well. Still to come here on Box to Row, Jeff Munkin is the head football coach at Army West Point. The Black Knights are undefeated on the season. He's going to join us. But up next, we're going to be joined by BYU head football coach Kalani Sitake. Keep it locked.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
Now back to From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Track down the names making news in sports from the press box to press row. It's Donald Ware from the press box to press row.
We're going to keep things moving here on the program. We're joined by a gentleman. As a matter of fact, he's in his 9th season as the head football coach at BYU. The Cougars ranked number 9 in the country in off week. Of course, going to prepare in a couple of weeks for the game, or really next week, for the game against Utah. And I tell you what, that should be a really good football game. Kalani Sitake is the head football coach at BYU, joins us here on the program. Coach Sitake, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on. Looking forward to talking to you.
Absolutely. Me too. So let's talk about the win over UCF. Your thoughts on the Cougars' victory?
Well, it's a cool game. I mean, I love being in that environment. Obviously, my wife being from Polk County down in Florida and being able to see the in-laws. But we had a good following of fans that showed up for the game. And it was good. We knew watching on film that we would need to be at our best against UCF. They took Iowa State all the way down to the last minute. And the things that they did pose a lot of problems, especially after we gave up a lot of yards in the quarterback run game against Oklahoma State. And so we knew that this was going to be an adjustment, that we'd have to be at our best. And I thought the guys played really nicely. I thought they played great effort. It wasn't error-free, but, man, I like the way our guys play. I like the way that they do it together. And I'm glad that we were able to get the win and get that victory and saw rocket launch, all that fun stuff down in that area. And I'm just really grateful that these guys keep playing the right way, man. It's been a lot of fun to coach.
You know, you're no stranger to coming east, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Now, there must have been some torn loyalties from a family perspective for this football game.
Well, I mean, they better not tell me. You know what I mean? Because the family. I think the families. They're all with me. I met my wife at the BYU. Met my wife at BYU. I'm from Hawaii. She's from Florida, and it makes a lot of sense that we live right in the middle of that. But I have a lot of affection and appreciation for the Florida area for that area, and my in-laws have been so amazing to me. So it was just great to get out there and play that game and to have them be there and cheer for us to get the victory. But I like being able to go at different places and have our fans show up. Just have so much appreciation for them sacrificing their time and energy and money to come watch us. And I hope they know how much our players appreciate and how much myself as a head coach really appreciate and love them.
No doubt. Second season, of course, in the Big 12. 8-0. You got a number 9 ranking. Your thoughts on how your team has played so far overall this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done some really good things, and I think every week we've been able to get better. I still like to see us play our best game on this 9th game, you know, and I just like that we've been able to win different ways and that we've had it's been team wins the entire time. We've needed all three phases to function, and at times one phase out of the three would be maybe the catalyst for us, and It's a good compliment mention that I have to give shout out to all our coaches that have been able to do that, and the ability to have this complimentary football on our team and to have so much cohesion between the three phases has been amazing for me to see as a head coach. And I think it's giving us the unity and the togetherness that we need to get these wins. And so I'm looking forward to the next one, but I've been really proud of the way the team has been performing and the belief that they have and the love that they have for each other.
First year in the Big 12 was last year, 5-7 record. And now you look at where you are, top 10 ranking in the country at number 9, undefeated on the season. Speak to sort of the turnaround from 23 to 24. I guess maybe you all were just kind of getting acclimated to Big 12 football.
Well, I think you go back to culture and you go back to your system that you have in place. I'd like to think that we've been very consistent as a program in teaching our young men and the expectations that we have of them, the standard that we expect them to function at. When you go through that, everybody wants to say, well, what was the difference between this year and last year? We've been really consistent in how we teach, but really consistent in how we want to approach our players, the relationship that we have for them, and even us giving them that chance to empower themselves. The game of football is you can't predict it. You have an opponent that cares and loves the game just as much as you do. But I think if we focus on the result of the game, then you don't get your best. And so for me, it's like just you have an opportunity asking these young men. What we've been able to lean on heavily is that we want them to appreciate the opportunity to have to play this game. Nothing's going to be given to you, but you should appreciate and show gratitude that you get to play this game of football. And there's so many people that sacrifice for you to be here that you might as well enjoy it and do the best that you can. And not just in the game, but even during the prep. And you might as well relish all those moments that, that people can see that is tough or that you may think is difficult, but just know that you're doing it for a reason, and that a lot of people, a lot of thoughts, prayers, and tears and hopes are in you just doing your part, and your part is just maximizing the potential and the possibilities that you have here, the options that you have. And they represent more than their family. When you put it that way, the love that we have for them, that I have for them, and our coaches have for them, and we have for each other, it's unconditional. So that means I have to love them no matter what the result of the game is. But you have to live by it. And I really believe we've been able to do that. And then that builds motivation and allows these young men to truly see that they can enjoy themselves, be at their best self, and play the game the right way. We all got into this game because we loved it when we're young. And for some reason, you play your best when you're loose and having fun.
No, I had to chuckle just a bit there, right? Because I know last year, I mean, I know you got to love them, but I know sometimes you I guess you have to kind of take that attitude. But I know, you know, last year there may be some difficult times loving them, if you will.
Yeah, but love doesn't always mean that everything is happy-go-lucky. It's there's correction too. Yeah. If you're a parent, love doesn't mean you just let your kids eat, candy for dinner. You have to be able to, but you have to be able to spend time. That's the key. You have to spend time, and you have to show that you care. Time is the way you show care and that you care, and educate them in ways that they can learn. I mean, I there was a time that I was young where I thought I'd never stop watching cartoons or eating cereal, right? And you start to learn that there's actually benefits from eating other foods, and you get that's part of experience in life. But it'd be nice if you have a mentor that helps you along the way. And I had that with my family, with my father. So these young men are going from a transition from a young man to an adult. So they need someone that's been there before. But it doesn't mean that you don't have correction or you don't have criticism, but it also means that you should have praise. And so that happens where you just, if you're a parent, you love your children unconditionally. It doesn't mean that you love everything that they do, but your job is to keep teaching them and to let them know that regardless of what happens, that you're going to be there for them. That's our job as coaches. And I found that if I can be a better parent and a better husband, then I can be a better coach, and it goes back and forth. And so I've been able to have an amazing staff that does the same thing, and the players, they thrive in that environment.
Very well said. That's the voice of BYU head football coach Kalani Sitake, as the Cougars rank number 9 in the country. He joins us here on the program, 8-0 on the season. Speak to your quarterback, Ratzlaff, and how he's played so far this year. He's put up some pretty solid numbers.
Yeah, Jake's been a really good player for us, and I like the leadership that he has. I think he's understanding the game, and, you know, maybe last year when he was able to, when he was kind of put on the scene, it was we had the 4 games, but we had a quarterback that got hurt, and he was kind of just thrown on the field, and it was some growing pains for him. But he did some wonderful things too. The thing that I love about him is that he's always going to give the best effort that he can, and that's on and off the field. And so when you have that you can work with, I think only positive things can happen, and we've seen it. We've been able to see how he's super humble, and he works with his teammates well. But he also realizes that he doesn't have to do it all by himself, that he can rely on his teammates to help him, and they can do it together. But I like the command that he has on the offense, the growth that he's made, but the humility that he shows by learning from his teammates and from his coaches. It's been amazing to have him on this team, and he's perfect for what we want in a teammate, but definitely as a quarterback. And I just like his personality and his character. It speaks to what he's doing on the field.
I got to take you back a little bit to the 2020 season. I thought it was a very important football game that BYU and Coastal Carolina played. You came way from the Utah to come and play this football game. You weren't on the winning end, but it was just a really good, solid football game, a game really that was needed in the time of the height of COVID. Can you speak to that and what you remember about that game?
Yeah, I just remember we wanted to play games, and it was the time where a lot of people were canceling their seasons or or weren't able to play in certain games. And we had an administration that was committed for us to go play football games. And this one happened late in the week. And I think it just happened so quick that we didn't have a lot of time to prep, but who cares? We want to play the game. And we knew that it would be a risk with not enough time for prep on both sides, you know? So we made the trip out to Coastal Carolina, played that game. It was a lot of fun. We came 1 yard short of winning the game, but what a cool environment. You know, their fans are super excited that we were there, and it just felt good to play the game with fans in the stadium, you know? And I would say that it sucked that we lost the game, but you can't complain about the opportunity to keep playing the game. I think it was a good decision by us. You don't get anywhere by trying to protect yourself with the schedule. These guys want to play the game, and everybody works super hard so they can get the opportunity to play the game. They don't work super hard so they can only win the game. You know, and that you have, when you play this game, there's a risk that you may not come out victorious, but the opportunity to play the game itself is an experience that you can't replicate in anywhere. So I'm glad our players had that opportunity to play that game, and it was a really cool opportunity for us to go out there and play that game and do something that hasn't been done before. And you know, we know that if we need to on a short time's notice, we can go make a game up and play it, and that's pretty cool. It felt like backyard football again, where you can call everybody up in the neighborhood and say, "Hey, show up here. Game time is this time." And we'll just show up and play the game and have fun. And that it was a fun game, even despite the loss.
Hold the line for me 1 second. More of our conversation with BYU head football coach Kalani Sitake on the other side. This is your weekly edition of the HBCU Blitz powered by Box to Row. I'm Donald Ware. First, I'm going to take you to Huntsville, Alabama, for the matchup between Southern and Alabama A&M. Southern trying to maintain first place in the SWAC West. We're going to move to the fourth quarter. Southern leading 19-13. Alabama A&M with possession.
Fake the pitch out, and Harry missed the tackle. This time he scores a touchdown. Langford gets another touchdown run.
From 8 yards out, and the extra point was good, and Alabama A&M had the 20-19 lead. Now, we're going to move to late in the fourth quarter, inside of 2 minutes. Southern trying to regain the lead.
And T-Set is passing it. Here's the throw. One-handed catch.
Touchdown.
Caught it! Touchdown to Pre Fuller! Another one-handed catch.
That was my man Chris Powers on the Southern Jaguars radio network. Southern defeated Alabama A&M 25-20, and with Alcorn State's loss to Alabama State, Southern now has sole possession of first place in the SWAC West. Now to Orangeburg, South Carolina, for the Thursday night matchup between South Carolina State and North Carolina Central. We're going to pick things up in the third quarter. South Carolina State already having the 17-0 lead. The Eagles looking to put points on the board.
Gives it to Taylor. Taylor up the middle. Taylor to 25. Taylor to 20. Taylor breaks a tackle. Oh. Taylor into the end zone for the score. Jamari Taylor from 36 yards out.
And the Eagles would pull to within 17-7. But South Carolina State would have an answer late in the third quarter.
Phoenix handoff. Oh, no. Play action fake. Out in the open for South Carolina State. That's Caden High.
That was Ernest Robinson, Bill Hamilton on the South Carolina State Bulldogs football radio network. 42-yard pass play as the Bulldogs took the 24-7 lead, would hold on to defeat North Carolina Central 24-21, handing the Eagles their first conference loss of the season. Meanwhile, the Bulldogs sit alone in first place in the MEAC with 3 games remaining, and the Eagles drop from the top spot in the HBCU coaches and media polls. To Baltimore for more MEAC action, an exciting game between Morgan State and Norfolk State, a high-scoring game as well. Let's pick things up late in the fourth quarter. Morgan trailing 31-28, a freshman field goal kicker to attempt from 47.
3 seconds on the play clock, 2-1, the snap, the kick, the 47-yarder.
He made it!
All good.
He made it!
The yards away.
Big time field goal by Sarabademma. And we were tied at 31 heading into overtime. The Bears got the football first and scored on a Taj Smith to Jaden Coffin 25-yard touchdown pass to take the 38-31 lead. But the Spartans would answer. Xavion Evans with a 2-yard touchdown run to pull the Spartans to within 38-37. And on the road, the Spartans were looking for the win.
The game comes down to this. Spartans gone for the deuce. Quarterback Jalen Daniels will roll right, looks in zone, fires incomplete, ball game.
That was the mentor, Lamont Germany on WEAA. The Bears remain in contention for at least a share of the MEAC crown, defeat Norfolk State 38-37. And in Green Bay.
Love in the shotgun, hands off Wilson, barrels his way right side to the end zone, touchdown.
The former Fort Valley State and Johnson C. Smith star, Emmanuel Wilson, with his first rushing touchdown of the season, but the Packers would fall to the Lions 24-14. That audio courtesy of the Packers Radio Network, Wayne Larrabee on the call. Box to Row, the radio show, airs weekly on radio stations across the country, as well as Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, on Sirius XM, College Sports Radio Channel 84, and Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Sirius XM Channel 142. To listen to the show or for more information, visit BoxToRow.com. Continuing our conversation with Kalani Sitake, the head football coach at BYU, as he joins us here on the program. The first Tongan FBS football coach. What does that mean to you?
Well, I'm super proud of my heritage and where my family and my ancestors come from. And just happy that we had the opportunity to be in this country and to play this game, and that I was able to get a college education as well as my father and our family, my siblings. And so, we're honored to be here and to represent ourselves. I love being a citizen of this country and what we stand for. And so it's been a lot of fun to be able to play. I mean, I'm living a dream. I grew up a BYU fan. I got to play for the legend Lavelle Edwards. I got to be a captain as a fullback, which doesn't really happen often, you know. And I played in a pass happy offense. And then I got to play for the legend, be a captain for him. And then I got into the coaching profession and got to come back here as the head coach at BYU. And so I'm living a dream right now, man, and can't complain. But I'm glad that people like myself can look and aspire to do whatever their dreams are. And this was definitely a dream of mine. You combine that with marrying a wonderful partner, my wife and Timberly, and the kids that we were able to get, our four children, and all the mentors that I've been and friends that I've been able to be, associated with, and then people that I consider family. So it's a dream come true. And I'm in a position where, nobody pinched me right now. I'm enjoying it.
Last thought, Coach, and we really appreciate the time. Next game, again, is going to be at Utah. Big-time football game. Utah, a place you're extremely familiar with. Speak to – two-fold question. Speak to that game, the magnitude of that game, and then your relationship with the head football coach there at Utah, Kyle Whittingham.
Of course, yeah. I worked there as a linebacker coach and defensive coordinator for – 10 years, for a decade. But the interesting thing is I played here at BYU. I have family. I have a sister and an older brother that I know. My older brother played at Utah, so we played against each other. But me and my younger brothers played here at BYU, and my sister went to Utah. So we have kind of this connection to both schools already. And then I got to coach there for an amazing coach, Kyle Whittingham, who's a legend himself. He's a former BYU player. So we're up there coaching, and I get to meet amazing people up there at Utah. And fans and faculty, staff, coaches, players. It was an amazing experience. I can't complain about it. And that helped me become the coach that I am today. Without Utah, I wouldn't be here at BYU. And I mentioned without BYU, Coach Whittingham wouldn't be at Utah. So this is a really cool, unique experience for me. But if you look at it and you look at families in this rivalry, it's not unique when you see that the families are, they cheer for different sides too. We haven't had this game in a while. And I've said this before earlier this week that the absence of the game when BYU was in Independence and Utah went to the Pac-12 and we weren't in the same conference anymore, didn't allow us to have this game as consistently as we've been used to. And so we've been absent from the game since 2021. And when you have these type of rivalries and you all of a sudden take the, it's not there anymore, maybe we took it for granted a little bit. And it's become really hostile and toxic in some ways. And I'd like to see it become a little bit more civil. And because we need each other, now we're both in power conference. We get to compete as rivals in the Big 12. Who would have saw this coming? And what we're here now, and I think we can do this game with a lot of appreciation and respect for each other. We definitely want to win. I know myself, we want to win here. And I know Coach Whittingham wants to win at Utah. And I know their fans want him to win. But regardless of the result of the game, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have just as much love and appreciation for Utah as I did before. And I know that Kyle would feel the same way. And there's a lot of people on both sides that would feel the same way. And because we've missed each other and now we're reunited, we can do it. We can do it, but do it even better.
Mm, very well said. Kalani Sitake, the head football coach at BYU. Of course, the Cougars ranked number 9 in the country. 8-0 on the season. The next opponent, however, is Utah. Gracious enough to join us today here on the program. Coach Sitake, really appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Cougars.
Thank you. Aloha. Go Cougs.
Kalani Sitake of BYU. Let's go back to back as we continue here on Box to Row. We're joined by a gentleman in his 11th season as the head football coach at Army West Point. The Black Knights are undefeated on the season, 8-0, on the road this Saturday, as a matter of fact, at North Texas, number 18 in the country and number 25 in the CFP rankings. Jeff Munkin joins us here on the program. We appreciate the time, Coach Munkin. Welcome to the program.
Hey, glad to be with you. Thank you.
Got to start here. Your thoughts, you're undefeated on the season in the Group of Five AAC conference this year, and you're number 25 in the first rankings that have come out. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are on this afternoon's practice, frankly, and I just want to have a good practice this afternoon and get ready to play North Texas. They are dangerous and athletic and fast, and they score points on everybody. And I will assure you that is all I'm thinking about. All those rankings were on last night. We were on a practice field, and at this point, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't matter where we're ranked or anybody's ranked right now. It's where we're ranked at the end. So we got a lot of football left to play before all that stuff really comes into play anyway.
Okay, that's fair. So give me your thoughts on your win, your last game against the win over Air Force.
We were always happy to win a CIC game. And those are the biggest games of the year for us, playing the other academies. The CIC trophy is the most coveted trophy, at least in our program. And I'm certain that probably would be the case if you ask the other coaches at the other academies. It's the most important tangible goal that we have. So to be able to win the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, we've got to beat Air Force in November in order to play for it against Navy in December. And so I'm thankful that we're going to have that chance. Our guys played really hard. So did the other team. It was a heck of a battle. And it always has been and will always be one of our toughest games to win. So able to come out with a victory. Our guys are thrilled. But, again, you got to put that behind us, and then we move on to the next game. And that's what we're trying to do this week is get ready for North Texas.
Your thoughts on the way, again, an undefeated season to this point. Your thoughts on the way your team has played so far this season?
What our guys have done is really maintained a sense of urgency and humility. They're a very mature group. They always seem to be looking toward the next game and how to get better. And they haven't allowed what we've done in the past to really impact them at all. There's not even this concern or this sense that I have, like, I got to be worried about our guys looking at the headlines. They really are very mature. We got a lot of guys that have been in the program and played a lot of football for us, and they've just handled it very well. And I think, like me, they're really eager to practice this afternoon and try to get ready to win the next game. And that's what they look forward to. So I've been very proud of them. They've executed well enough to win. We haven't been perfect, certainly, but I've been proud of their effort and just how hard they've played and how they played together.
Jeff Monken, again, in his 11th season as the head football coach of Army at West Point, as he joins us here on the program. You know, you've won 12 straight games dating back to last season, a 6-6 season, an 8-0 start so far this year. Can you speak to how it seemed like a bit of a struggle last year, but again, winning the last four coming into this season, how the momentum of last season sort of carried over into this season and now your undefeated start?
I thought our senior class last year and our team captains did a really good job of keeping our team focused last year. It was hard. We started out the season 2-6 and we played some tough football teams, and frankly, we lost to some bad football teams, which I'm embarrassed to say, but we found ourselves at 2-6, but no lack of determination and belief and trust in each other. And we were able to get a win in early November last year and win out the rest of the year and start 2-6 and finish in 6-6. So it wasn't where we wanted to be, but really proud of the effort of our guys at the end of the season. And our current senior class carried that over into the offseason. And I think there was just a determination that we weren't going to allow that to happen again. And so we've got great captains and a really strong group of leaders, not just the senior class and the other classes below them. And they've really driven this culture and the, I think just the belief that each week we're going to have a chance and we're going to give ourselves a chance. And it's going to be on the hard work and the commitment and the dedication and the investment of everybody in the program. So we saw that in the off-season workouts and spring practice and early morning conditioning drills we did all through the summer. Just really proud of our team. And you could see that there was something about this group. So we've managed to keep it going. And like I said, that they have been able to compartmentalize each game and just make it a one game season. And it takes a lot of maturity to do that, but you know, they know we're not getting any, we're not going to show up and it's already going to be 7-0 when we show up in Denton, Texas to play North Texas. We don't get anything for the games we've won. We're going to have to earn victory this weekend, and that's going to be really hard to do. Our guys know that. They know how hard we have to play and how well we need to execute because of who we are physically in order to win.
Jeff Monken is the head football coach at Army. He joins us here on the program. Your quarterback, you know, Bryson Daly, I mean, 130 yards rushing. And everybody, if they know your history going back to your days at Georgia Southern and even in your assistant coaching days, you're a run first guy. But he's got 130 yards, or he averages 130 yards rushing. He's responsible for 26 touchdowns on the season. Your thoughts on the way he's played so far?
He's a really good player. He's just tough as nails, a physical runner. And I think having a quarterback that can run the football puts a lot of pressure on defenses. When you have to account for the quarterback as a runner, that creates more that the defense has to do to defend an offense. I'm a run first guy, but I believe that running the ball effectively and stopping the run wins football games. And if you look at the top teams in college football, you're going to find the teams that are very successful are good at running the football and stopping the run. And likely most of the games that those teams have played, you'll find that they ran for more yards than their opponent. And that statistic still matters. In fact, probably around 75% of the games that are won this year in FBS football will have been won by the team that rushed for at least one more yard than their opponent. So it's something we believe in, and we try to find a way to do that, to run the ball on offense, to stop the run. And people call that old school, but I think that's still pure football.
Jeff Munkin is the head football coach at Army West Point. He joins us here on Box to Row. More of our conversation with Coach Munkin after this small pause for the cause.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Rhett Lashley's the head football coach at SMU. Four straight home games. I don't know if I've ever really seen it, but to your point, in those three straight road games, you traveled 3,709 miles.
It breaks your season up in a weird way. To your point, we were at home the whole month of September, gone the whole month of October, and now we're going to be home three out of four games in November. We don't make a big deal about road and away. We go play the next game, and we game plan for the opponent, and we worry about the things that we feel like we need to do to compete well. It allows our guys to focus on the standard that we need to chase for ourselves.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
We're back here on Box to Row talking with Jeff Munkin, the head football coach at Army West Point, here on the program. And on the other side, we were talking a little bit about the Black Knights defense. And Coach Munkin, you're number one in scoring defense, number five in total defense. So speak to how well the defense is playing. Hey, but I think it speaks to your point. You talk about the better teams in college football. You're running the football very effectively. Your defense is great, and you're undefeated on the season.
We got a heck of a defensive coordinator, Nate Woody, and he just does a marvelous job every year of getting our guys in position to make plays. And you know, nobody's going to look at our roster, look at our team, and see these guys that are lightning fast and just tremendous athletes in the open field and really big and long. But they see guys that play really hard, and they see guys that are in position to make plays and where they're supposed to be. And Nate and our staff do a great job with those guys on defense. But we try to play complementary football, and that's probably an overused term. Much like culture is an overused term, but you know, we try to play complementary football, and that our offense and running the football, controlling the clock, limiting the possessions of the other team, that helps us play better defense. We play fewer snaps on defense. And for us, that's a formula to play better defense. So it really is a team effort for us to be able to control the game on offense by holding the ball and running it and giving our defense a chance to get out there and be very active and very aggressive. And we don't take chances on every single down. If we blitzed every down and played zero coverage, there'd probably be a lot of balls over our heads. So a lot of our defense is built on trying to keep things in front of us and put enough pressure up front that we are good against the run and can force the quarterback to throw the ball on time.
Couple more thoughts with Jeff Munkin, the head football coach at Army. And Coach Munkin, we appreciate the time. Building this Army program may not have been very good prior to you coming. Maybe your first couple of years, not what you've wanted, but then that third year, you won eight football games. You've had a couple of double digit wins at Army. Speak to building this program and where it is now. And now, of course, as everyone knows, your first year in the AAC.
This is a tremendous institution. The United States Military Academy is, frankly, one of the best academic institutions on the face of the planet, and nobody does leadership like West Point. It is the preeminent leadership institution on the face of the planet, and we don't apologize for saying that. It's an incredible place that's, for centuries now, built and prepared young men and women to lead our nation as officers of the United States Army. And so there's a standard of excellence here, and there's an expectation of our American people to have an institution here at West Point that is going to create leaders for our nation and for the world that will shape American history and world history for decades to come. And that's what we do here. So to have a football program that represents this institution on a national stage, this football program needs to be on par with the excellence of this institution. And so when I arrived, fortunately, I had a great support team in our superintendent, our athletics director, that believed the same things, that we needed to have a football program that matched the excellence of this institution. And so we just worked very hard together to build this program. And our players, I can't say enough for just the faith and the trust that they put in our staff and how hard they worked. And there were some tough years. The first year was really difficult. The second year, I knew we were getting closer. We lost 10 games. We lost 8 in our first year, and then we lost 10 in our second year. What looked like we were going backwards to everybody else, I knew we were getting better. We were playing 20-plus freshmen every week. We lost 10 games, but 7 of those were by 7 points or less. And I knew we were getting close. And the next year, we won 8, and we won 10, then we won 11. And we really had the program in a place where we felt like we could sustain success. And we've been able to do that for the most part. And I've been really proud of our players. They're the ones that have done it. They've had to play all the snaps, and they have to put all the time in the off season and the summer and the sweat and toil of practice. And so we've had just really great guys here as players. And I've enjoyed seeing this program grow and build back to a successful level.
And then last thought, Coach Monken, and really appreciate the time. Can you speak to Paul Johnson, who he's meant to you? You worked with him at various stops, Georgia Southern, Navy, et cetera. And of course, you've taken over your own program, first Georgia Southern and now Army. But what does Paul Johnson mean to you?
Sure. My dad was my high school coach, so I grew up around football my whole life and was very influenced by my father as a coach. But I don't know that anybody has had more of an impact or an influence on me as a coach than Paul Johnson. I worked for him for 13 years. I was first a GA for him at the University of Hawaii in 1989, and I knew he was special then. But he fortunately hired me at Georgia Southern in 1997, and I worked for him at 3 schools. And he is a remarkable football coach, one of the best play callers in college football history, and I'll put that up against anybody. That guy, he knew his offense, and he knew how defenses would defend it. He could see things and had answers for things. He was incredible, but he was also very demanding and demanded accountability of everybody in the program, which is really important. He was a disciplinarian, which is really important, that people understood where the line was, and that was the line. And he expected people to put forth their very best effort, to play hard, but also to play together. He loved our players, and he would do anything for one of our players. He wanted to support them and help them and be the very best they could be. And sometimes that wasn't, always putting your arm around them and singing Kumbaya. Sometimes it was a foot right on the back of their pants, but he gave them what they needed. And for years and years, I can tell you that players just, they love Coach Johnson and respect him so much, and so do I.
Again, Jeff Monken, the head football coach of Army West Point, joining us here on the program. The Black Knights are 8-0 on the season, on the road on Saturday, an AAC contest at North Texas. Coach Munkin, really appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Black Knights.
I appreciate it. Go have a great day. Thanks for the opportunity. Beat Navy.
You can react to anything that Jeff Munkin had to say. Hit me up via X at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. He didn't want to answer the question, my initial question, about where the Black Knights were ranked in terms of number 25 in the college football playoff rankings, but he said that'll take care of itself, certainly in subsequent weeks. Either Jeff Munkin or Kalani Sitake, the head coach at BYU, both teams are undefeated. Any thoughts you may have, hit me up via X at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. Taking a look at Week 11 in HBCU football, some very important games. And there are five or six games in the SWAC. All of the games are important, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. So you've got Texas Southern and Alcorn State. If you're Alcorn State, you cannot afford to trip up against a solid Texas Southern team who probably is out of it but would like to take you out of it. So, I mean, that's an important football game in particular for Alcorn State. Alabama State and Grambling State. I mean, look, Alabama State wants to keep pace with Jackson State. Now, Alabama State has one loss, and that's all it has in the SWAC to this point. But another loss would mean, even though Alabama State has Jackson State ahead of it, if it, let's just say, it won that football game, it would still have two losses. So a very important game for Alabama State against Grambling State, who at any given time could win. Hadn't played well. Tigers hadn't been playing well, but, I mean, this is a game in Grambling, and Alabama State got to be focused for that game. Southern and Bethune-Cookman. Now, Bethune-Cookman hasn't had a good season at all. However, the Wildcats are coming off of a win, and a nice win at that. And Southern has been solid. If you're Southern, you're leading that Western Division. You don't want to get tripped up by Bethune-Cookman. Florida A&M and Prairie View A&M, same thing. I think Prairie View A&M pretty much is out of it at this point. But if you're Florida A&M, you still have a shot in the East, albeit a long shot because of the loss to Jackson State. But let's say Jackson State slips up along the way. Florida A&M is right there, lost by Florida A&M, and Florida A&M is going to be out of the Eastern Division race. And then Jackson State in Valley, Mississippi Valley State. Mississippi Valley State hadn't won a game this year. I don't expect Jackson State to lose this game, but I think Valley's going to be competitive. It has been competitive. It's got solid quarterback. It just hasn't been able to put it together as a program. And, of course, if you're Jackson State, you don't want to slip up in this football game. Virginia Union is in, okay, in the CIAA. Now, Virginia State has an opportunity to be in. If Virginia State can beat Virginia Union when the two teams meet in Petersburg, or Ettrick, Virginia, as it were, and let's say Johnson C. Smith slips up and loses to Livingstone, then you would have a Virginia Union, Virginia State CIAA championship game, if you can believe that. South Carolina State, they're in the MEAC, doesn't want to slip up against Howard, right? Look, in the SIAC, Miles has already punched its ticket. Clark Atlanta still has a shot. It plays Morehouse. Let's see who else still has a shot. Fort Valley State and Albany State still have a shot. They play each other in the Fountain City Classic. So still plenty of football left to be played in. Tuskegee plays Miles. Tuskegee still with a shot. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Jeff Munkin, the head football coach at Army. Thank you to Kalani Sitake, the head football coach at BYU, for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on the program, log on to our website, BoxToRow.com. And always remember to support those that support Yo. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.